Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of Sister Host, the Sister Ghost podcast. Thank you for your patience, because this episode was recorded in June 2019, and it is now the 2nd of January 2020. But that doesn't mean that the wait hasn't been worth it. It definitely has. So this episode was recorded in Ojai in California. I was out there for 2 months working in the summer at a girls' rock camp, and it was awesome as usual. And I'm hoping to go back again this summer. I sat down with 3 amigas, and they all happened to be from Michigan. So this is when Derry met Michigan, basically. And three witches tell me some ghost stories. So yeah, enjoy.
Okay, cool. So who wants to go first?
Oh, I could go first. Do you mind?
Yeah. And just to paint a picture for all of our listeners, we're sitting in the dark in a classroom on top of a mountain, and there's a skeleton above me.
It's really spooky.
So it's like right up my aesthetic. It's great. Okay, cool. So, Mary, would you introduce yourself first?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Mary Louise Kranz, and I'm originally from Michigan, so I'm what you would call a Michigander or a Uper, because I'm from the UP. Mm-hmm. Currently living in Atlanta and here in Ojai, working at the rock and roll camp Girls Rock.
Ooh, cool. So, you have said that sometimes you find like your family all experience...
Oh, so there are ghosts that have followed my family our entire life, and tonight I'm going to talk about Henry, who is a ghost that was there when we moved into a home when I was 13 years old. We moved to Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and there was this big, huge Victorian house that we had, and on the third floor is where our bedrooms were, and we had a place, and there was this huge attic space that we would have like all our Christmas decorations and things. And when the first week that we spent there, we kept hearing, it sounded like what was a bouncy ball or ball being thrown against the door.
Yeah.
And it was happening every night. Mm-hmm. You would just hear, and then it got louder, like someone was like just whipping this ball at the wall and at the door. And then it started being about 2-3 a.m., my mom would start yelling at us to be quiet, because the stairs where we were living were in the maid's quarters. They were changed over, like there was a kitchen area that was turned into our playroom. Mm. And there was stairs that led from our kitchen all the way to the third floor. And those were their stairs that they would use. Mm. So on those stairs, they were really kind of creaky.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom would hear someone jumping on those stairs, or like running up and down them.
Wow.
And she thought that we were like roughhousing and playing, so she would yell up at us. And you know, at first, like the first month, we were just kept quiet about it, and we were really scared.
Mm-hmm.
And then one night, my older brother was like, "Henry, you asshole." He's like, "Can you just stop it?" Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it got really quiet. Like, he stopped. Mm-hmm. And, like, once we actually gave him a name, he was, like, not only were we accepting him, but he started, like, accepting us.
Whoa.
And then it became this relationship where he just would mess around with us. Like, there was one time, so we had this play space where we had like Sega. Do you know what Sega is?
Yes, Sega. I know what Sega is. And when me and my brothers were raised on Sega.
We were too.
Sega Mega Drive?
Yes. And we even had something called the Sega Channel.
Oh.
Yeah. And we would be up just late at night like playing these Sega games.
Yes.
And we would have like our snacks and things. And we were just sitting in the dark like we are here. And we had this half-eaten bag of potato chips, but they were like the sour cream and onion ruffle ones, and they know this because they evidently, Henry liked these chips. Because we actually had clips on the bag.
Yeah.
And I don't know quite how to explain it. It didn't actually levitate, but it opened, like it went, popped open, flew open.
Oh my God, Henry was hungry.
Henry was hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what was really weird is we'd put all the things away and there would be like crunched chips, these chips like in the carpet. And some of our games and things like would go missing. And we actually ended up finding, we would find them in this closet space, like at random. Like we began after a couple months to realize that the things that kept going missing were being put in one particular place.
Ooh.
And then he also started messing with the light bulbs in our lamps. And they would like at first they'd start flickering and then they'd go completely out. And then he also started messing with our alarm clocks. Like he would set them back.
No way.
Yeah.
No.
And yeah, I know.
So annoying.
But it's so annoying. But you're like, we would be like, hang on, you're such an asshole.
You just
want to
be early for work.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, as kids, it was just like for school, you know? And but we would just get really mad at him when he would get us in trouble for being too loud. And also, it was so weird because I kid you not, it was just those Ruffles sour cream and onion potato chips.
You said like, I used to do like a litmus test with like different flavors of
seriously
chips.
It was the only ones he ever fucked with, and we never could wrap our head around why that was. But yeah, Henry was a character.
Amazing. And did you ever find out like any more history about like the house and like maybe
we did, we tried to find out from the original owner like who lived there originally. And we never found out who lived there and what the story was. But the census that we understood is the spirit was that of a child. Just the pranks and stuff. And there was only a couple cases where he ever messed with my parents. It was usually just with us.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I could tell that he was lonely.
He just wanted to play.
He just wanted to play. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'd also get really upset when we weren't there, too. Like, once he became Henry and part of the family, if we were gone for a week and we came back, he would just mess with our things.
Whoa.
That we actually had the light bulbs would be entirely unscrewed.
No way.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
And then, like, our favorite games or something would be missing, too, and we couldn't find them. And then they'd just, like, show up randomly, like... And we would, like, intentionally leave peace offerings for Henry. Like, Henry, here's your favorite, you know, or this or that. Like,
here's a 10
we're sorry.
Pack of chips that we didn't love.
We're like, please return our game to us because we really want to play this.
Offering him 2-player on Sega.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
come on.
He did scare my dad really bad once, though, because he had gone down the stairs and was... My dad was in the kitchen just getting some food, a late snack, and the doorknob just kept, like, have you ever seen, like, it just shaking?
Ooh.
And he thought that someone was in the house, like, in the cellar, and so he grabbed a bat, and he actually thought someone was trying to break in, like, that's how intense it was.
Jeez. That's frightening. That's
yeah.
So scary.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for... telling us about
Henry. Absolutely.
And so Mary, on my podcast I always like to ask my guests like what their favorite song is or like a song that they would like me to put on the podcast.
That's fun. I do have one that I'd like you to play in memory of my brother, and it's called Boats and Birds by Gregory and the Hawk.
Nice song. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Skyrocket away from me and never come back if you find another galaxy far.
again to Mary for the amazing saga about Henry. Saga and Sega. Mary is still here. The fourth wall has been broken.
Mark, you want some chips? Sour cream and onion, Henry.
But I'm also here with Vanessa and Allison, who are also from Michigan.
Hey.
It's a Michigan special. Do you both want to introduce yourselves and how you know each other?
Yeah, I'm Vanessa, and
I'm Allison. I'm waving at nothing right now. Just the ghosts in the room.
Yeah, we met each other through playing music, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that how?
Yeah, I think so.
Or like just being around music, or like being at shows and.
Yeah, the first time we talked was the night you asked to play in my band.
That's so cool. The first time we talked was when you worked at that grocery store around the corner of my house and you sold me eggs.
Oh, that's true. About the egg situation. Yeah.
But we didn't know each other then.
Yeah.
That was merely counter service.
That's like an entirely
another story. Yeah. I want to hear about this story though.
It's romantic.
Yeah.
It sounds romantic.
But yeah, and then we ended up playing in a band together and living together for about 2 years.
Yeah,
nice. And here we all are at Girds Rock Santa Barbara. Sweet. So the other night I was talking to you, Allison, and you had some really cool ghost stories. So, but one also involves Vanessa, so maybe if you want to start with that one first.
Yeah. It began with that.
Yeah, let's tell that one first. So I was in my room. It was pretty late at night. My room's like, it was really big and it had like a lot of windows in it, and I had been doing a tarot reading for myself. It was just like a 3-card spread, and I was really sleepy, and I remember like just not being very present with what I was like reading, or like, I don't know, I was just like not really paying attention to what was happening in the tarot spread because it was really late and I was just trying to like do it. So I kind of like put all the cards away and like put them on the windowsill and like fell asleep. And then I woke up the next day and I had just gone about my day and had come home like later in the afternoon. And, my room was a mess, cause it was always a mess, but there was a tarot card just like on the floor, like in a pile of laundry or something. Like it just looked like it had been like blown off of like the window, because mm-hmm. I had left the cards on the sill and the window was open, so it looked like the wind had just caught it and like kind of threw it across the room. Mm-hmm. And so I picked the card up and put it back on top of the deck, and then moved the deck to the other side of the windowsill where the window was closed, so that I was like, oh, I don't want this to keep blowing all over the place and mm-hmm. losing my cards. And so then I left my room again and went and did something else and came back like late at night, and I have like an overhead light in my room, but I just don't like using it because it's too bright. And so I went to turn my lamp on, which was right next to my bed and this window. Mm-hmm. And so I reached over and like turned my lamp on, and like right in front of my face was the tarot card that I had picked up off the floor earlier that was standing straight up and had been like propped up in the like in the corner of like the window in the wall. And it was just, like, looking at me right in the face. Like, just the orientation of where my lamp was and turning it on, it was, like, 2 feet away from my face and just, like, scared the shit out of me.
Terrifying. Seriously.
So freaky. Gosh. And so I just kind of, like, looked at it for a second and, like, took a deep breath. And then I, like, ran down the hallway to Allison, where she was sitting in her room. I don't even remember what I said to you, but I was just, like, really spooked.
Yeah. Yeah, you asked if... You were like, I have a weird question, but did you touch my tarot deck? And I was like, no, never done that. You're like, you didn't prop it up right against...
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
It was, like, a creepy card as well, because you showed me what the card was.
Yeah, it was the Hierophant, which is supposed to represent either, like... authority, or maybe like a religious institution, or yeah, it was a really like big card, I sat on it for quite a few days after that, and I was trying to figure out, like, what the hell the tarot deck was trying to tell me. Pay attention to this. And I never quite, like, put my finger on it, because it just was such a big, like, it was such a big card and big idea. But yeah, I remember having you, like, come into my room just to be like, am I seeing this? Is this real? And so you, like, came into my room, and, like, what did you think when you first saw that?
I mean, at first when you came in, I was like, okay. And then when I went inside, it's spooky. It was so spooky. And I do remember there was kind of a neat moment where there was almost empowerment from that card. When you looked it up, you're like, this is the world or the tarot deck or the ghost telling me that this is my time to, like, step up and take authority. And that was really neat. That I think that was within the probably, like, the next 24 hours that followed. And that was a cool perspective on it. But then I think it got creepy again after we sat on it some more.
Yeah. Because,
yeah, then I think we were both on alert.
Yeah, I know. I don't think I touched my deck for, like, 2 or 3 weeks after that. Yeah. I just, like, put them in the box and, like, put them in my drawer and left them there. But I do remember, like, so the card was, like, in the window, and you were in the room at this point, and I was like, I think I just need to pick it up. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so scary just, like, having it standing there, like, staring at us. And then as soon as I, like, touched it, it felt, like, more curious than, like, you know, it wasn't, like, a bad feeling in the room, but, like, as soon as I picked it up and was, like, holding it, and, like, it really, like, took the edge off of all of it. But
you even giggled when you did that.
Yeah, I made it, like, an exhale. I don't know, I just remember feeling a lot of relief when I finally picked it up. But
so there was more going on in that house, right, after that too, like?
Yeah, so then it was a while before anything else happened. There was actually a lot of changes in the house itself, where we all decided to move out, and then I decided pretty last minute that I was going to stay. So I pulled in two more roommates, and Vanessa moved out, and our other roommate, Ellen, also moved out. And so I was the only one that had been in the house, and I moved into Vanessa's room. And when I moved into that room, another roommate moved in named Sage, and then a third named Jolie. And so the house was in transition for quite a while, where there were just things everywhere and the space was completely turned over. And we kind of did a deep clean for the first time, so everything had been pulled up. And part of that process was relieving Sage's family from a storage unit that they had for over 30 years, and this was in Detroit, so a few hours from where we live. Mm-hmm. And Sage and I drove down in a moving truck to bring all of this stuff from the storage unit. And Sage is Native American, so a lot of this stuff was sacred to their family. Mm-hmm. And it was from a reservation that they were raised on and their dad lived on for most of his life. So we brought all of these items that Sage had never actually lived with before into the house, and they sat in boxes for a while, and a lot of it was really, it was just spooky. There were a lot of books on witchcraft, a lot of clown paintings, a lot of paintings of Sage's dad from his youth, and then bottles and bottles of herbs and sage, and just, tons of stuff. Old candles, candle wax, and we kept all of it. Trunks that we couldn't break the locks off of. And we moved a lot of it to the attic, and it kind of sat there for a while. Jolie moved in, and then Sage's birthday came around, and we were having a party. And so we decided that for the party, this was a good reason to get the house set. So we were finally able to put everything away and arrange it. We made a room of bookshelves and put all of the books on the bookshelf and put the creepy clown doll in the attic. And we named that doll Crunkles, which later became the name of the ghost. I think it was because we just needed kind of a mildly aggressive name to be like, Crunkles, come on, we don't care, and it sounds like a chip brand.
It does.
Like Crunchers or something.
Crunchers.
Yeah. So and you know, things had felt much more spooky in the house for some reason, but nothing had happened. And that night we had a party, it was great, and we all went to bed sober-minded and very intentionally. So mm-hmm. all three of us went to bed and my partner stayed that night as well. And Jolie like went into her room, took her contacts off, put on her pajamas, closed her eyes and went to sleep in a sober 100% fine mind. Like her door was shut, and she woke up in the morning and she had a box that was a keepsake box, and it was actually an old wine box, so the kind you have to take the lid off of mm-hmm. in order to get in, where it's not just like a lifted up deal. And that was under a shelf across the room from her bed. And when she woke up in the morning, she saw a little green and blue gift box on her desk and was initially like, oh, Al or Sage got me a gift and put it in my room, and mm-hmm. that's sweet. And then she's like, wait a second, that's super familiar. And she recognized the box from high school, from her high school prom. It was the box that the corsage was in that her high school boyfriend gave her. And that box lived deep within the wine box that was under the shelf on the ground. And that box was open and disheveled. Whoa. And then beside, like on the desk closer to her bed, was the corsage that was out of the box. Yeah, and it was super spooky.
Yeah, that's so spooky.
Well,
yeah.
Like, you ever been hit on by a ghost?
Yeah. She was like, am I supposed to reconnect with this dude? Is Crunkles just trying to get frisky? And
it's been a long afterlife.
Finally, some cute people. And it's kind of a similar reaction to Vanessa, except now I was in Vanessa's room. Jolie ran into my room and was like, Al, did you take my corsage out of my keepsake box? And I was like, I didn't even know that existed. And with that same night, I woke up, and Seth is the name of my partner, and we're just sleeping, and I always wake up early. And he woke up with me and just kind of started saying some bizarre stuff. And he's never sleep talked before. Mm-hmm. But he's a really heavy sleeper, so I'm used to that. Like, I mm-hmm. could dump 8 gallons of water on him and he'd just roll over and probably splash around. Yeah, I'm jealous. But the first thing he said was like, thanks for making me pea soup. And I was like, cool, I've never made pea soup. Great, maybe I will in the future. And, you know, but his eyes were open and he was sitting up.
Creepy.
Yeah, when he said this stuff, he would kind of like sit up and then kind of go back to sleep. And then he started to say crazier stuff where he started laughing and he was like, I beat up an old man. And I was like, wait, what? And I was like, Seth, why? You know, his eyes were open. I was like, what are you talking about? Are you still asleep? And he just kind of like giggled and then laid back down. And then
it's like possession shit that he kept like sitting back up and then just like.
Exactly. And I actually left the room. This was over the span of an hour because I was like, okay, I'm feeling uncomfortable and I'm sure he's just still dreaming. And I came back upstairs, and all of this is before I knew about Jolie. Mm-hmm. And I went back upstairs because he wanted to get up at 9 because he was recording that day. And I was like, probably 9. I don't like waking him up, but he wasn't waking up to his alarm. So I went back, and he just like looked at me. He sat up when I walked in the room and looked at me and was like, were you involved in the India bombings? I was like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And he said it again, like sitting up, staring at me. And at this point, I was sitting next to him on the bed. And that second time, I just, I kind of lost my shit, and I shed a few tears, and I started to pull him and, like, have him try and stand up, because I was like, fuck this, you were not possessed by Krunkles, get out of there! I was like, I'm dating Seth, not Krunkles, not ready for that, like, and it was so spooky, and he was spooked out when he, like, came to, because he snapped out of it, and I was a mess, and he was like, ew, what's up? I was like, I never made you pea soup. he's like, I don't like pea soup. Yeah, and that kind of started this catapult and cartwheel of bizarre things in the house. And yeah, at the same time, we brought in my favorite member to the house, who is Jezebel the mannequin.
Oh,
and
creepy.
And we started to refer to the house as Jezebel's house, and or Jezebel's Jazz Lounge, depending on the night. But yeah, and there is a lot where, like, things would creak and open and noises and lights would flicker, and there was another night in particular that Sage, Jolie, and I were all sitting around, and Jolie somehow said, like, what is Jezebel's? And Jezebel the mannequin was standing in the other room, and there was a light on right next to her, and the light next to her went out and back on, and then the one next to us went out and back on.
Yeah. Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah, and we were both done. Sage was like, okay, I'm out of here, and went to their partner's house.
Yeah.
And Jolie and I were like, we're going to sit down, and we're going to confront Krunkles. And we sat across the kitchen table from each other, and we were just like, all right, Krunkles, we've never really directly talked to a ghost before, but here's what's up. We support you in whatever you need, but also this is not fun to live in. So, like, just show us where you are, whether that's in a book or one of these candlesticks or one of those creepy-ass clown paintings. Like, just fall off the wall or come to life. We're fine with that, but we just want to help you help us. And then we turn on all the lights in the house and went for a walk, and we came back, and, like, the whole vibe of the house changed.
Whoa.
And, yeah, and it wasn't present that night, but within the next few weeks, we're like, it's been so quiet, everything feels safer.
Whoa.
And it was
cool.
Super bizarre. Yeah, I don't know, maybe Krunkles is, like, lighting the house on fire right now.
I should not put that in the world.
Yeah. No, don't do it.
Yeah, no.
Oh, you've been gone too long.
Yeah. Krunkles and Henry don't have Spotify.
I did not.
They're modern ghosts.
Cool. Thank you so much for sharing those stories. Do you want to pick a song each, or, like, one that's, like, shared between both of you?
Oh, I think I have my song. If you have
what's
one.
Yours? I don't have one yet. What's yours?
So the one that keeps coming to mind is actually one I covered in that solo set back in November. The Mazzy Star Ghost Highway.
Ooh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, can I have half credit for that?
Yep.
I want to also make that. That could be our joint song.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a good song.
It's a great song.
Thank you.
Awesome. What a great song that is. Really appropriate too. I hope you enjoyed episode 5 of Sister Host, Sister Ghost Podcast. I'm going to try and make the episodes a little bit more regular in 2020. But yeah, I just want to thank everyone who came to our shows in 2019, and a special thanks to everyone who voted for us. And we won the Best Live Act at the NI Music Awards, which was class. Yeah, that was really great. So thank you so much for your support. Yeah, so we're going on tour now at the end of this month. I should probably plug those shows. We are going as the Irish support with Petrol Girls, which are an awesome band. Check them out if you don't know them already. They've done like Kerrang shows and stuff. Really good feminist hardcore or post-hardcore. Kind of split between the UK and Austria. They're great. And so we're playing with them in Belfast on the 21st of January. Then we're going down to Dublin on the 22nd, Limerick on the 23rd, and then we're playing with our friends in Extravision in Cork on the 24th of January. Yeah, so it's going to be a fun week. Hopefully see you at some of those shows. And then also, we have some amazing band shirts, finally. My friend Patterson from Toronto designed the artwork for those shirts, and they're available on our Big Cartel, so you can get that. It's like on our Instagram, Facebook, just click through, but I believe it's sisterghost.bigcartel.com. Yeah, they're awesome. Patterson actually did some work for She Shreds magazine, which is like the coolest magazine in the world. Check that out if you don't know it already. It's dedicated to female guitarists. Yeah, it's awesome. So the t-shirts are great. And it's like the first time in my life where like I will unashamedly wear my own band shirt with pride because it just looks cool. But anyway, cheers. Thanks for tuning in. See you later.